I got my thing here, I'm slacking. Mr. Shanahan. No?
Yeah, he is out ill today with the flu.
Okay.
Unable to attend, since it's such a light agenda, and it was a last minute, he thought he'd be past it by today.
Yeah, Tom, we don't want him to spread his germs around.
Yeah.
We got enough of it going around the office.
I bet. It's happening at our work too, where people are getting hammered on.
And Les was here, he's just running back, he forgot his laptop, so he's running back to get it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you wanna just go?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, here we go. Call to order this regular board meeting, January 17th, 2018. Roll call of our attendees.
President Pekovic?
Here.
Director Graff?
Here.
Director Merchant?
Here.
Director Pasic?
Here.
Director Clark?
Here.
Not here.
Doesn't work?
No, that's not keys.
Okay, item two, consider adoption of agenda. Motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let's move to closed session. We're gonna evaluate the GM again. Jeez. Okay, here we go. You ready? Welcome back. Coming back from closed session. And there's into open session, there's nothing to report from closed session. Okay. Item five, employee announcements, promotions, commendations, kudos. I don't think we had anything this week, this month. Six, comments from the public. The public is welcome to present opinions to the board, 3 minutes to speak. Of course, I would imagine a lot of you are here for our later agenda items, so as always, you're welcome to talk at that time. Is there anything not related to agenda item 11 that anybody wants to talk about?
Yes. Ted Hart, 6847 Torino. An old subject. I would encourage the board to seriously consider starting these meetings at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. They may work well for you guys, but they don't work well to the general public. So please give it some consideration.
Okay. All right. Item seven. Larry.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead. Oh.
When you get injured, you get slow in reacting, don't you, Mark?
I didn't see it.
Larry Shelton, 6933 Lindera Lane. The RMA board last night just brought into discussion the Escuela Gate. Hmm. And it was brought up because there was some public action or some public request to find out what the status of that was and where we're going with it. I know a few of the board members were there and some of the audience, but just to bring everybody up to date, CSD RMA is in the past been focusing on it being a two-gate passage system. So 2 years ago, we began setting aside money to accomplish that. It was estimated at costing about $118,000 in those dollars 2 years ago. And so we've been setting aside $28,000 per year the last 2 years with the idea that eventually when development increased, it would be necessary to do something and we would be funded to do that. So we're about halfway there. But the public seems to have a certain interest in revisiting this issue for trying to expedite opening that gate prior to 2020, 2021, which is what our funding would allow us to do. So I thought that I might bring this up and suggest that maybe we could get together in two boards and discuss if there's the need and the value in trying to secure additional funding to get it started sooner than that. And I beg the sympathy of the board is to expedite this at the public's desire. So we would certainly like to encourage you guys to consider the same thing.
So when you're talking about public input, where is that coming from? Just curious.
Well,
is it like the sports teams wanting to get access to the field more quickly instead of driving through the community, or something else?
Well, it's a combination of things. There's a lot of traffic and security issues that are associated with people that come through the North Gate to get to the facilities that are available to them, Stonehouse Park, baseball, soccer, whatever. And those people, once they get through the front gate, have access to the entire community. So that's kind of been a negative issue for a lot of people. And it's always been on our radar as a way to help control that security issue anyway. In addition to that, we have internally within our group kind of a focus on trying to encourage more activities, more recreational activities. And one of the areas that we're going to focus on is the gazebo area where the motorcycles are parked. And one of the reasons that we haven't been able to move that park, that parking area for motorcycles, is because of cost. It was estimated at about $60,000 to build a motorcycle parking lot across the street to open up that parking lot for, and also the aesthetics of the area.
Okay.
And if we had the Escuelo Gay operational, we could easily move the motorcycle parking up into the area where our maintenance is, and that way the cost would drop significantly.
So, go ahead, Les.
I was just going to add a question. Do you have a list of names and or the number of people that have requested this?
No, I do not. This was just got popped up on our agenda recently because of public request, and so we haven't got very far with this, not at all. But I do know that there's a certain amount of interest in it.
That would be a good thing, a good place to start from my standpoint, is determining the number of people. And
okay. So just a discussion is what you're interested in?
Yes. Yep. Opening it back up and seeing where we can go and how important it is for the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Hello, my name's Alan Petrasik. I own a home at 15208 on Celebrar Street. And I just have a question. I'd like to find out how I can get an update on how our new security chief is being selected, what candidates we have, and where we're at in the process of that interviewing process. Is this an open forum to ask that?
Yeah, there's actually under 8A, there's a short update there in the general manager's report. But I mean, Mark, do you want to kind of mention what's in the GM report?
I can speak that. To that, so we have finished conducting interviews. We had a panel for selection of myself, a former chief of security from the district, and a board member of RMA on that panel. And so we're still in finalizing the selection, but the interviews have been completed.
So three people are making that decision.
I'm making that decision at the with advice.
Is there any opportunity for resident input in that selection process?
No. I'll be making that decision.
Really?
Yes.
Has there been anything come up in regards to the duties that the patrol officers are asked to do, like in regards to dog abatement and rattlesnakes and the training process for them to be certified to do those duties?
So we are having discussions about those topics and reviewing policy.
Can anyone tell me if the telephones are working at the gates right now for external calls? When I was working there over a month ago, the phones were not operational to make outbound calls other than local calls. And that's my understanding, the calls should be monitored for security purposes. And those phones have not been working for months.
So let me speak to that. There have been some issues with phones at gates. We are actually looking into a comprehensive replacement of our entire phone system at the district, as to have better quality of phone service, to consolidate. Right now we have a number of different vendors that provide different long distance local service, internet even, and so we're looking to consolidate all that into now there's telephony companies, they call it Universal Communications, that they can provide a whole level of services. And so we're actively, in fact, we've already engaged a number of vendors for that. As far as the current status, I'll let Jeff.
Just to be clear, it's not an issue with the CSD or the equipment. The issue was determined to be between three phone companies that service the gates. So that is part of the reason why we're looking at another company or companies to use. And additionally, the gates are equipped with cell phones that they can utilize for phone calls.
And the board's aware that cell phone usage is not monitored in any way, shape, or form, or in any way for an emergency situation or investigative purposes. Just to let you know. I also have, just while I'm messing out of time, but I was curious to know about the turnover in the security department and the people knew what the cost of training, hiring, outfitting employees are and the huge turnover that's occurred there over the last few months.
So we're investigating. So I started about 3.5 months ago, and so one of my missions and tasks is to evaluate the entire security function and look at training, look at staff turnover, policies, you name it. We're looking at everything. And so with a new security chief, a permanent security chief put in place, that person will also be tasked to evaluate those different issues.
All
right. Okay, with the goal to reduce turnover and try to retain staff as much as possible.
Yeah, that'd be great because you've lost a lot of really good people lately.
It's a difficult industry. Having interviewed the individuals we did for chief, and all of them have served security in some capacity, almost every security function suffers a similar situation. So. But we'll do it. We're going to do what we can to reduce that.
We look forward to it. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment? Mark.
Yes. Could I just wanted to answer Ted, if I could. I've been mulling the same thought, and I've had people approach me that, you know, have time constraints and people that work and can't get home and can't get to the meetings. We're gonna, as soon as we get everybody back on their feet, we're gonna have a goals meeting like we do every year, and I promise you that we'll bring that up and discuss it. I think there's some merit in certainly having that conversation.
Good. All right. Let's move on to item 7, the consent calendar. I need a motion to approve our consent calendar.
I'm just going through my notes just a moment.
Anybody comment? Anybody got any comments on
it? I don't.
I only have one comment. You can do. Okay, on item 11, consider approval of the revised Rancho Murrieta Master Trail Plan. I believe there was a correction from the original concerning the a motion, and I just want to make it clear that that is a motion to move forward with some recommended changes to the map rather than just approval. And that was it.
Okay. Let's make sure that we have those captured before, because what's happening with that? Right now, I think we're targeting February for our parks meeting. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure I got what that is when I go. Mm-hmm. Maury's our alternate, so we'll be going to that. So let's make sure that we have that captured correctly. Okay, the specifics. All right, Les?
Yes, that's okay. Good. Thank you.
Anything else on that one? Not that topic, but 7.
With that, I can move to approve the consent calendar.
Second. Moving to second and roll call vote.
President Pekatich?
Yes.
Director Graff?
Yes.
Director Clark?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Passett?
Yes.
8, staff reports. Any comments on A, the general manager's report?
Yes, I have a comment question. This is just a minor correction on the security department. Burns and McDonald, rather than McConnell. And then I just want to make sure that the new chief selection has as much background as is feasible on the purpose of studying this issue, including a review of the audio of some of the pertinent board members' meetings in the past, since the minutes can't capture every single word that is said.
All right.
And then on the next page, the comment concerning Murrieta Gardens. I just want to make sure that we're all aware of the status of the fees, all the fees due, and if those are all up to date or when we're going to collect them.
Paul, do you know? So on the gardens themselves?
Murrieta Gardens portion.
In regards to the fees?
The inn and spa. Improvement.
Yeah, as far as the inspections are concerned, those are complete. As far as the fees, that's in the controller's realm of.
So the inn, for the inn itself, so we've sat down with the developer, and there's credits that are granted for improvements made, and then fees paid, and some of those fees are paid based on that latest recycled water report that came through. And so those were adjusted, and there's actually a net owed the developer under that. So that's where it is.
Okay.
So those are there's a few items in there, so we know there's a net no matter what. There's a few items that we're still finalizing on that. But for the most part, that's resolved.
And that's the one where we have a 1 year, right? We have initial fees, and then we reevaluate at the end of 1 year.
Correct.
Based on actual usage.
Water usage, yeah. Correct.
Water usage, right. Mm-hmm.
Is it going to get done before the Winter Classic? Or is that too direct? Because that horse show is coming in February, isn't it?
So I'll announce that we received our final inspection today at the hotel.
Nice.
All right. Hey.
Congratulations.
So we have an ADA walkthrough on Friday. We'll make a press release on the 23rd about our new management company, and we will have a week or so of soft opening events for the show that's coming in on the week of the weekend of the 25th, 26th, 27th, and then we'll welcome everybody in the community around the 1st of March.
Nice.
So
congratulations.
It's been a long wait.
Yes.
Thanks. Right.
Thanks. Very good.
Anything else on 8A? I have one comment. Congratulations on your internet speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we just joined the 1990s.
Hey, so. How about that? 8B.
I have a comment on that one.
Yeah. All right.
Like this one?
That's the one. John, thank you very much for giving me a call on catching that error. That was strictly an input error on my side. I appreciate that someone out there is looking at it. So, thank you very much, John. It has been corrected, and it was just me taking the weighted average in October, going down the wrong path, and keep doing the same thing. So, John gave me a call and set me straight.
Very good.
And the crow was delicious.
All right. Any other comments on 8B?
Yes, I have a comment on page 2. Relating to the expenses year to date, total operating expenses are above budget, $103,866. Going back to the last meeting where we requested the amount of expenditures for the open space and golf course purchase proposal, that was over 35%, $36,000 or so. So it's about 35% of the overage to date. So that's a significant component. And then on the water expenses, from the standpoint of mid-paragraph, there's a statement that the majority of the average is due to time issues between budgeted and actual amounts. A little bit further explanation?
Basically what it is Paul has been able to make more repairs and maintenance in advance of what the timing on the budget said. So, and another big thing as far as the overage in the water department has been the major repairs to the CIA ditch. You know, we're only a percentage owner of that, but nonetheless, we did incur significant costs on that this year. So,
mm-hmm.
Is some of that reimbursable?
I have actually made the changes in the accounting to book the billable share as a receivable. So okay. what our financials are now showing is our portion only.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing I had.
Anything else? Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else on B? C? Security report? The guns are coming this month? Radar guns are coming.
It's supposed to be delivered sometime in January is the last update we had.
Okay. No comments, no questions on my side.
Okay. All right, D. Wastewater, water, drainage report.
Field operations. Can I ask a security question? I keep looking every month. And there was reference to the way we procedurally handle it. But, I mean, we chase a lot of loose dogs. Is there anything that we've ever done or would contemplate doing that would reimburse us on the second or third instance? I know we pan them up if we catch them, but is there any recoverable thing we could talk about? I mean, if your dog gets out five times,
there's a problem.
Well, first time is a mistake.
I thought there was a fee that goes along with the second or third offense.
Well, let's research it, I guess.
Okay. There may be a fee, but do we collect it?
Yes.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Back to D. I notice also here, Paul, in your report on 4, you had the emergency well project extending into 2019, so that's good news.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Okay, and then on 8D, relating to Murrieta Gardens subdivision again, the cleaning of the forest main, at some point in time, I'd just like to get a little bit of understanding of it, maybe at the next improvements committee meeting.
Okay.
Okay, I don't need that. We don't need to have it today, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Where are we, Paul, on water?
Water supply to storage, we're at 91% full to the spillways as of today. We're ahead of the curve.
And we'd be complete in, what, 30 days if we didn't turn off the pumps?
Less than that, yes.
Okay.
Stop logs have been put in.
No, we're not allowed to put stop logs
in. No.
That comes in April.
April. Okay.
Later.
Right.
Later in the spring,
later in
I think it's April, isn't it?
April 15th.
Yeah, I thought it was April. Okay. Anything else on 8, and we'll move to 9 for the correspondence. Good? All right, moving on to 9. We got an email from Linda. Pretty much related to, and I know Linda's out there tonight, agenda item 11, right, Linda? Do you have anything else to add other than what's in the correspondence? You good? We can wait till 11 if you want. Let's do that. All right.
Wanted to comment that we appreciate the residents taking time to read some of the background documents, and hope to have time to read a little bit more of the full extent of those documents. I know they're rather voluminous. Should be understood that the extreme weather conditions in the entire community must act as one. The under extreme weather conditions in the community must act as one. And participate equally in those actions. We have a master plan that indicated there would be sufficient water supplies, and but with certain restrictions under very critical years, and that is based on a water use that is projected, and that water use is sometimes a little bit high over the projected period. So I believe that a more full understanding of the reports that have been submitted will provide additional information on that question.
Okay. Item 10, consider adoption of district policy P2.001 uniform and dress guidelines.
All right, this is a fairly simple item. In the past, there's been a policy for security staff to be clean-shaven, and it's something that We are asking under this action to allow for well-groomed facial hair, like a goatee or short beard, essentially. There really is no safety reason for it, as long as it's maintained and groomed, we feel it's appropriate. It's something from a morale standpoint. There's staff who had facial hair before they started to work with us, and they'd like to reinstate it. And as long as it looks good and it's maintained, that's what we're proposing.
Mm-hmm. And as I recall, the discussion was this now put it across the whole thing, because other departments had the ability to have facial hair, but the security department was the unique one that was not allowed when it was not associated with safety issues.
Correct. It's not a safety issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So no longer is it like it breaks the seal on your gas mask. That's what they used to tell you in the Army, why you couldn't have one.
I think even out in the operations side, as long as it's short, is it allowed with safety?
It depends on where it is on their face, but we actually, for my staff, we do have to wear the SCBA masks, and they have to be fit tested to make sure they're a sealed fit.
But are they allowed to have facial hair?
Right. Not that would inhibit the sealing of the mask.
The sealing of the mask. Mm-hmm. So that's in that case for operations staff.
So that's it. Okay. So I need a motion. So I move we adopt district policy P2.001, uniform and dress guidelines. This policy supersedes policy 2010-11.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Chairperson Bekaitich?
Yes.
Director Graf?
Yes.
Director Clark?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Passick?
Yes.
Jeff, you get to keep your mustache. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, item 11. Discuss goals and objectives regarding acquisition of Rancho Marietta Country Club golf course and other assets in open space and trail areas.
All right. This item is a continuation from December, so this discussion started at board in October. At the last meeting in December, the discussion involved reviewing the Aimee Wang Parks Report goals of 1988 and other goals that were being offered and visions recommended by directors. At the last meeting, there was a motion to come back and consolidate those goals into essentially a vision of what the district was trying to achieve. And so with that, President Pekatich had asked if he could take the first stab at consolidation, offered those to myself. I made a few edits and then offered those to the remainder of the directors to provide their comments back to me. And with that, we have consolidated five draft recreation goals before you today for your review. As a second part of this, last meeting, the district formed an ad hoc outreach committee to approach various community stakeholders in the discussion over the overall potential purchase of golf club and open space properties and facilities, and with the intent of just conducting outreach, see where those different stakeholders are. Are there any issues that would just be non-starters that would basically, whether or not we should continue down this path? We have initially met with the developer group, and we have plans to, in the near future, meet with the remainder of the primary stakeholders out there. And I'll hand that off to Pekatich.
That's it. I mean, we're trying to move, towards a facilitated discussion with the stakeholders that we've been identified and involved to date. So we're continuing on that path productively, I think. So people have been receptive. I think last night RMA met, and they're trying to sort out similarly like we had to who their representation was at that group. And so hopefully they were able to do that last night, and then we can, start having discussions with everybody.
They did. I just have some comments on this issue. Very minor comment from the standpoint of the background. The statement reads that as I'm continuing discussing the December board meeting on the potential acquisition by Rancho Marietta Community Services District of the Rancho Marietta Golf Course lands, facilities and other assets. And then it says open space areas around the reservoirs. Mm-hmm. More particularly, these are privately held land development interests that have are identified for development with in the master plan for the community master plan. So they're not necessarily open. There is some open space planned in those lands. So just a minor correction that should be...
Creating open space, is that what you want to say?
Yeah, creating open space, additional open space areas around the reservoirs, that would work, yes.
Ah, I see. You need a verb.
Minor. Then from the standpoint of the goals, I apologize for not getting some of my comments back to staff earlier. But item four, preserve and improve home values within the community by appealing to diverse lifestyles, seeking a family-oriented recreation resort community. And I would suggest that we add it's the intent or endeavor to or act towards or in an effort to.
At the beginning of it.
At the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Fine.
And then that begs another question, and that is this. So far, this proposal has come from two directors of CSD or has been presented to CSD by two directors. And I was wondering, has there been any outreach to the community at large relating to this effort? As I indicated before, we're spending a substantial amount of money, and we plan on spending a significant additional amount of money in order to chase this proposal. And I suggest that that part of the process includes an outreach to the community as a whole.
And I think what we talked about on that one before was doing a survey at one point, but if I remember correctly, about what we had talked about before is doing that after we had the opportunity to talk to the stakeholders. So I think that's still on the table, to get some sort of something out there to kind of talk to the community. But until we get there, I don't want to just start sending stuff out until we kind of define more of what is, you know, how much. That question's come up a bunch of times, you know, like how much are we talking about? Well, until we actually sit down and talk to everybody, I can't even put how much in front of anybody right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of the fact that you all are here this evening, and to me this is outreach, you know, if people are interested... are interested in knowing how much. Some are in favor, some are not in favor. And so I think what we got to figure out is what it is, and until we can get those discussions going, which are moving along smooth and quickly, mm-hmm. we'll be able to do that a little bit better. But yeah, I think we have that on the back end.
Okay, and I'd want to make sure we do that in a timely manner so that we don't get down the path too far, mm-hmm. spend a lot of money that is unbudgeted mm-hmm. For this year. And then find out that it's inconsistent with the community's real interests.
Right. I think where we're at, though, right now, Mark, is I'm spending my personal time. You know, John's spending his personal time. I mean, we've got you on the clock, obviously, but I mean, the hard costs right now are that, correct?
They've been fairly limited
yes.
over the last month or
like
two.
Like, we had this spike right. to kind of get, yeah. like, all right, our arms wrapped around right. everything, but now I think we're at a point of, like, mm-hmm. plateau of, like, all right, let's just, now we're putting time in, mm-hmm. you know, to have
a discussion. I think there was some significant expenditure on some legal issues that we had to settle before
yeah.
we
right.
had authority
indeed.
To move.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
It isn't staff time that's being charged.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
some of it is.
Some of it is, yes.
But a lot of it was legal costs.
I'm committed. I'm 9 days away from hip surgery, and I'm here tonight, so let's have fun.
You need a bigger hat.
Okay, no. I have a couple of comments consistent with what Les was talking about, primarily concerning time and money. I agree that we need to do really formal and as sophisticated as possible community outreach, but I can use an example from RMA where we proposed a community center a few years back, and the sophistication level of the outreach in that was merely ranchermurrieta.com put up a one-line survey, press the button here if you want a community center. I think in terms of time and money, And we have even some of the dialogue that I've had, and I've had a tremendous amount in the last 3 or 4 weeks. In talking about time, before you can get a real handle on time or even feasibility, you have to get a handle on the potential of consensus. I mean, we're dealing with four entities here. We're dealing with Rancho North, Mr. Sullivan's group. We're dealing with the Country Club. We're dealing with CSD, and we're dealing with RMA. Until we can have some very detailed conversations with those folks, we don't really have an idea yet of what kind of a blended concept would work. And we got over the first hurdle when we met with Mark and I met, General Manager Mark, and I met with Rancho North, we met with John, and we met with Tom Durrett, and we met with Carol Anderson. To get over the first level, which is this, you know, you are the owners of the property, is anything really for sale? Is there anything really that can be put into the mix? We agreed that we would meet again. I thought that was a significant hurdle to get over right from the beginning, and we agreed to meet after we had talked to the other entities. And that's the next step, and Mark can give you the detail on how we want to proceed with that. But in terms of time, and some of the concerns of the Country Club and their financial condition and where they want to go relate specifically to how fast something can be accomplished, how fast something can be accomplished. And I think that's really tied into how fast or if at all we can arrive at a consensus. If we go through this round of meetings and there is no consensus, well, maybe we're done. Yeah. And the money stops and the meetings stop and everybody goes back to where they were, status quo, before we started the process.
Right.
So time and money are really tied into this next round of meetings. How those go is really how the project itself will go.
Yeah.
But we're not going to spend years and years doing this.
Right. So I'm going to let Les finish his comments and we'll jump. Keep going.
And then on item five, ensure recreational entity ownership is locally held and maintained by stakeholders within the community. I disagree with that goal. Golf course ownership by private parties that may be headquartered outside the community have not been proven to be bad.
Okay.
This is a government-centric thinking, is from my standpoint, and we really should leave it much more open to the value proposition that's associated with it, and also the wants and desires of the community. Without due consideration of the potential advantages, we really don't know whether or not keeping it internal is a good idea. In fact, we have some experience from the Country Club that it may not be.
Okay.
Management of the Country Club, it may not be. So I disagree with that.
Okay.
And then on the ad hoc committee update, I just have one concern, and maybe it's a question or an open concern addressed, and that is that the ad hoc committee seems to be built with project proponents only on the committee, or a very low representation of neutral parties or parties that might be in opposition to it. And so I would hope that due and fair consideration is given through that ad hoc committee to a potential changes in the proposal of whether it includes just open space, whether it includes just the golf course, and those kinds, or nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, that's the thing about the discussion. To your point, is. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you get down, I think everybody's got maybe a little bit different idea of how this might go. And so I think once we get to the point of having that open dialogue with the different mm-hmm. stakeholders, I think we're going to be able to pull that out of folks and say, okay,
mm-hmm.
it might be a mix of everybody's idea in the end. In mm-hmm. fact, that's usually the best.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the committee approaches it in that fashion.
Yeah, I know I am. I mean, that's my point.
I understand that. That's why I didn't say all, you know, but just a significant number of the committee. I was at the RMA meeting last night, and a good number of the three representatives they nominated, I believe, are project proponents of at least one portion of the other proposal.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So,
okay.
I just want to make sure that, you know, we recognize that governmental entities must always be responsive to the community. Community needs and desires, not necessarily those thoughts that they proffer. It's a duty to be responsive to the community. That's our duty as elected officials. And whether it be CSD, RMA, or even you know, the golf course, the country club board. And so CSD should be involved in the community and as an effort to author the recreation goals. I certainly agree with that. The results of the meetings must be draft for presentation to the community and acceptance and concurrence or modification. And let's see, I think that's it. I have another note here, but I think I don't need to make that point. So I just want to make those points that we should approach this from the standpoint of the community's needs and desires, and make sure that the full community has input on it and understanding of it, because they're the ones that are going to be paying the cost. Mm-hmm. All right? And until that time, if expenditures start going off the scale, start adding up, maybe the project proponents themselves should start thinking about a separate funding mechanism to fund the additional studies to make sure that it's appropriate community rather than a community expenditure.
Okay. So in your statement, the proponents themselves would be the country club and other interest groups as an example.
My understanding of this was that it was brought forward by two directors of the CSD. That's the only input I've had as to the project proponents. I understand that there's an ad hoc homeowners group, subgroup within the community that is interested in the purchase of the open space. Mm-hmm. I believe that group, that was the genesis of it, and I believe that they added the country club to add more community involvement and enthusiasm.
Okay.
Okay. I think there was a data point you might be missing, and that was one of amenities that aren't in place that, if they were in place, significantly enhances the area in the community as a whole.
Right.
It wasn't just picking up the open space and or the existing stuff. It was what else would be necessary to make it kind of a complete.
Yes, I failed to mention that. I am cognizant of it, but
I thought the ad hoc committee was really to go out there and gather facts.
Yeah.
And then come back. So
it is not a decision-making body.
No.
It's a fact-gathering body.
It's
a Mueller-type investigation.
Right. Yeah. As long as the facts.
And even is biased.
As long as the facts sought are non-biased.
Right. Because I think the way in which you're approaching it is like, this group thinks this. You know.
Mm-hmm.
What's their, you know, what's that point of view?
Yep.
And then how do we like come back and go, well, you know, let's look at that as an idea. So, Jerry, to your point on two, you know, about improvements, I think we captured that, because I want to keep us focused on the goals too and making sure that everybody's good with what we have on paper. Recreation facility improvements captures your statement there. Is that correct, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have other comments, Jerry?
No.
Okay. I'm going to run down the panel and then we'll go, Larry, if that's all right.
No problem. Actually, in general, the comments, as they were stated, other than a few corrections that I sent to Mark earlier, I think these are great goals, overall, overarching type goals, and to me, I'm comfortable with the ad hoc committee on the basis of, you know, it makes no sense to talk about this what is it in theoreticals until really we can hash out what is realistic. And I'm expecting the ad hoc committee to come back and say, this is, I doubt they'll come back with one option. It's going to be more, these are the ranges, these are the possibilities that could be. And I expect it's going to have to go through several iterations to look at what are the possible outcomes, and there might be some, you know, the bond itself may not come to a single one. It may be, you know, here's the, you know, A, B, or C.
Indeed.
But before we can spend a lot of effort, we need to have some of these discussions with these other stakeholders and figure out what are the possibilities.
Right. Because to your point, you might not even need the bond. Maybe. Who knows?
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah. Certainly, the do nothing option is an option.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just along those lines, I think we have established here a couple of different levels that get back to this process. Number one is, I don't think anything could come out of this board without a 3-2 or better vote. That's one control. There's another control in that we have already stated that when we understand what it is we're proposing, that we would go out for community input.
Yeah.
I see that in the form of a survey, a really sophisticated survey, or as sophisticated as we can make it, so we really understand the feedback. I would be all in favor of joint meetings with the entities and the public at the same time. I think that's envisioned going forward. And then finally, understanding that there was, at that point, favorable public reaction to what has been proposed, then you go through the procedure of putting it on a ballot, and on that ballot you have to get 67% of the people who vote to vote for it. So by the time you get through that third step, if it hasn't been vetted at that point, I can't really explain to you how you might vet it. So I don't, and as far as bringing it back, I want to reiterate this. I ran for this board on the premise that I have this passion for open space, and that's no secret. There's never been a secret. And everything I have tried to do to facilitate that within CSD and within the community and within Solis and everything else is also, I think, well documented. All of a sudden, I'm in negotiations that potentially could put somebody in the community, CSD or somebody else, as an owner of a golf course. Personally, I don't give a damn about a golf course, okay? But I see it as an opportunity to create what I've been calling the perfect storm, where all of the entities involved have something to gain. And I think we need to exploit that. We need to find out what the advantages are to each of these entities and see if we can't come to a consensus. If we can't, we can't. We'll go back, everybody just go on their merry way, do what they got to do.
Okay. So I'm going to open it up for comment, but
I was just going to follow up on that statement.
Yeah, quick.
Just a quick follow up on that statement. As part of the original proposal, one of the issues that was presented as a hurdle to overcome was the idea that with a CSD vote, indeed the vote tally needed to be two-thirds of total number of people voting. But RMA, that was part of the, excuse me, not RMA, but the country club, no, RMA, excuse me, required two-thirds of the actual property owners within the community. And so part of this process was put forward to offer that lower standard from standpoint of community buy-in.
I think that was part of the legal research we did as to what it would require.
Yeah.
And so, but what I'm saying is that was part of the proposal. In other words, it's a lot easier to get two-thirds of those that vote on the issue rather than two-thirds of the property owners who will be paying for it. I just want to make sure that the community is aware of that thought that was part of the genesis of this proposal.
In other words, remember, I think the voters are, in fact, the registered voters, not property owners. The registered voters in the community.
Well, now
for the bond, it's a vote of those who vote. Two-thirds of those who choose to vote.
Yeah, I know, but who's qualified to vote?
If you're a registered voter in the district, you can vote.
If they are a registered voter within the boundary of what community facilities district we would be forming, and that could
And it includes, so it includes renters?
That, well, and it could include the entire district or a portion of the of the CSD district.
Okay. Your CFD doesn't necessarily have to correspond
correct.
With the actual geographic boundaries of the CSD.
And the indebted properties.
So, before you go, one quick thing, because I want to make sure we're good on the goals. What I heard from the group was, everybody's pretty comfortable with these goals. Les had two suggestions. I'm going to summarize. On bullet four, he wanted some sort of a start that says in an effort to or an intent at the beginning, right. Words.
Endeavor to, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In an endeavor to, sorry.
Endeavor to preserve, yeah. That works for me.
Okay, and so we're going to make that change. And then your concern about five,
yeah.
The words that I captured, Les, were a pending value proposition associated with it. So, you know, like if we add to the end of five, you know, and sure, something to that effect, does it give you kind of that cover of like, okay, if somebody wants to come in and run the club that's an external entity, like a management team.
No, he's talking about ownership.
And the issue here is the whole comment that the concept that locally owned and maintained by stakeholders within the community is better.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily believe that's the case.
Okay. So in other words, so maybe this bullet can't cross the finish line at all with any massaging. So your recommendation is to remove
five. To strike
five
and or replace.
Yeah. Does anybody have a concern about if we strike five?
I think the intent of what was said there was not that there couldn't be professional management of a golf course or a country club that is owned by the members that currently own it. I'm not a country club member, but in my mind I see distinct advantages to every entity in the community being owned by the people who live here. I mean, I think you have a definite stake in the ownership of that operation if you are a resident or a member of that country club or a resident of the CSD paying a bill or RMA paying a bill.
Right.
That was the intent of it.
Right.
Not that they couldn't manage it in a way that they chose to manage it because they are the country club and the country club members.
Understood.
The history, however, is adverse to that statement, and that is that the country club, the golf course, was proposed to be purchased by a private entity with significant improvements added. And the golf course membership overwhelmingly supported that. So it's not necessarily a given that an inside the gates local stakeholders management or ownership is necessarily better from the standpoint of the golf course.
Understood.
From the standpoint of the additional amenities, those could be RMA or CSD amenities from the standpoint of a clubhouse. So
what I'm hearing is the if five almost locks us into too much of it has to be local ownership, but maybe not allowing us the flexibility of other options.
That's
so here's my opinion on five. I'm not married to five.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to kind of let that go because however it sorts itself out in the end, that's the best outcome for the community I'm okay with. So I'm okay with striking five if everybody else is. You good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to strike
go
five.
Ahead. Strike it.
Okay, now, Larry, you got it.
And it's brief, and it doesn't even have anything to do with what you've been talking about.
You're not talking about goals?
The five people, or the four stakeholders that you have identified, if I understand correctly, CSD, RMA, the property owner, and the country club.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any consideration to adding to that the Townhouse Association? The townhouse group, and the reason I'm asking is because they represent a fairly unique population that Rancho Marietta has, and that's usually an older population that is more on fixed income, probably doesn't use these facilities as much as the rest of the community percentage-wise. So I would encourage you to consider those people for representation on here.
Okay. I think what I'd like to do is get into it and see what other opinions are there.
Sure.
Okay.
Larry, don't they, just a question for you as an RMA person, Don't they get representation through RMA?
Well, so does everybody else here, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know, but I'm just saying.
Just to eliminate them because of that is inappropriate.
No, I'm not, and I'm not adverse to including them. But I just, you know, they are not a group hanging out there without representation.
But they feel they are sometimes.
Well, you got the villages also. The villages, so like the thing in my brain's where Jerry's is probably, which is I'm thinking now about the villages, the villas. What about the new gardens? You know what I mean? And so I don't want to.
Some of those aren't even part of our HOA. So.
Right, not yet.
But again, if it is a community of Rancho Murrieta, RMA is only a part of the whole.
Indeed.
Yes.
Recognizing that the villas and the villages do not have a board they don't have an active board that participates in our activities. The people you're talking about so far that's included in this have a significant stake in how this goes together. I mean, I don't have any problem including those people also. Mm-hmm. But I know you do have to draw a line somewhere.
Our vision actually was even longer term than that, when there are multiple HOAs here in full build-out criteria, and how does that all work?
Absolutely. No, I understand.
But hopefully that's all going to be resolved, and we won't have to worry about that. Right, Larry?
Sure.
Okay, other public comments? Cheryl.
Hi, I'm Cheryl McElhaney, and I just wanted to say that I just wanted to let you know that I'm representing Solos tonight, and there's a number of Solos members in the audience tonight because we continue to be very, very happy to see this whole avenue being pursued and the direction that you're taking. And there are 926 Solos members in our community, all of them new members. And they write all the time that they're excited about this, and we're really happy to see this come up for discussion and the direction you're taking. As far as getting input into from the community and those kind of things, I would certainly assume that before you'd ever think about going to a bond election that you would have a proper survey. I was a former superintendent of school districts where we had to pass bond issues every 5 years, and it was pretty much my full-time job when we were having a bond issue to have to be passed. And so there was just a lot of formal type of surveys and polling that we did in our communities to make sure that we were moving in the right direction so that we pretty much knew whether we were going to win that election or not in most cases. And I would assume you'll follow that same course. Mr. Martin has talked about this, and I'm hoping it'll get to that point very soon.
So let me ask, because it's a question that I'm going to wonder at some point. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to pay for a survey. And would there be interest, do you think, in your organization to help fund something if there's interest in what's happening here?
We would do whatever is possible to try to fund something like this. We believe that this is truly a good thing for this community.
Okay.
A rejuvenated country club, that a remodeled, area that upgrades those golf courses, that brings in a beautiful community center with amenities for the whole community, including senior citizens, and then, to preserve our open spaces. That would be an ideal situation for our community. We'd be very happy to help with that.
Okay. Thank you. Myrna. I'm getting to know everybody now, right? I've been doing this for a while.
You got good coffee too, right?
I finally decided to come and say a few meds, words. So it's Myrna Solomon, 247.
You got it.
Hi.
Hi. So I don't have much to say. Everybody knows that Jay and I love the open spaces. He's been a golf member off and on for many years. Now he's a fisherman. But we're passionate about the back areas and the open spaces. And once Roger introduced us to all the trails, we were hooked. Hooked like and sicker. So we love this idea. This is the best idea I've ever heard. Thank you. And and a lot of people that I talk to out here, when we're on the trails, we talk about, we ask people. They love it. So I just want to throw in my two cents that this is a great idea. It's going to keep our property values up. And everybody that comes out to visit us and we show them the back area, I mean, they're jealous, they're envious. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm just throwing this in. Have people gone down and looked to see the salmon coming up the river? I mean, that is beyond astounding. And so we live in an amazing area, and I think it needs to be preserved. So thank you.
Thanks, Bern. Other comments?
I'm Julie Jackson, 6746 Torino. I'm a 26-year resident of Rancho Marietta. Everyone thought I was nuts when I moved out here because I worked downtown. It has been the best decision of my life. I want to compliment you and thank you tonight because of the attention that you're giving to this issue. I completely support how you're going about this. It is very important to find the consensus of this community. I think you are going to note that there is a tremendous amount of support for saving our open spaces. I, for one, am someone who has used them for the last 26 years, whether it's riding my horse or walking my dog. And I think it's really something that no other community has. Rancho Marietta is unique. It is special. And I think that what you all are doing and the process that you have set up is absolutely the right thing to do. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
Ted Hart again. I wanted to follow up on John's comment about the perfect storm. I think that the perfect storm includes a lot more than what we're talking about here right now. My vision of the perfect storm, or what should actually occur at some point within this community, is the fact that we have all these entities, and frankly, they should be all folded into one. It's a vision of how government operates effectively, and it's important, since this is at this structure and this joint right now of all this coming together, that consideration should be given by CSD, RMA, Country Club, and or whomever, of the fact that we may have reached the point of where this community really needs to be run more like a city. You have to have someone in charge, and you have to have some entity that's at the top. And the way it's conducted now, we have overlaps. We have overlapping between CSD and RMA, RMA and CSD. And it certainly, if you were to have laid this community out going back to the very beginning, you would not have done it this way. This would not have been the plan. But keep in mind that this whole place came about as a real estate development, and there were reasons as to why all these entities were set up. So I would encourage this board, along with any of the other boards, and or the people involved, as long as we're looking at everything, and I know you, with all this on your plate, it may not be the time at this exact moment to get into this, but at some point in time down the road, I think that this entire community is going to have to take a close look at running this more like a city. Thanks.
Mark, may I respond? Or
I will. Your call. You want me to go? Because I was going to say something about that.
Well, go ahead. No, I just didn't know what for, if you wanted to.
So odd enough, Ted, when I started to think about doing this job, I was of the like mind of like, all right, this is crazy because I got to go here, there, and everywhere for what I need in this community. And I got to tell you, in the now third year of doing this,
fourth,
this is probably the most aligned I've ever felt the boards have ever been. You know, in terms of like collaborating, cooperating, and talking to one another. So I think we're on the right path to try and figure out how to break down some of those walls, you know, and that was something that I hoped to accomplish while I was here. And I think we're doing a pretty darn good job at it. So,
And that's the reason why I dovetailed right behind John with his comment of this is the right time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's something that has to be done tomorrow, but it's certainly, at least from my perspective, after 40 years being here.
Well, we're starting somewhere,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, Mark, may just 1 second. I think this might, from Ted, I think this process and what comes out of it, if something does, might facilitate those conversations. A couple of facts that are important as you look long term with John's build out. I think that right now the number is 827 homes in that existing plan. That's not counting the residences and the final build out in the south. You would have a community when we're done at build out here of 10,000 people. There will be 10,000 people living here if we continue to develop, or if we do develop along the lines of the current plan. And you know, as part of that, I want to say that I really still believe that development is necessary. I'm not totally in agreement with John on where those houses ought to go, but there's a definite need for development here, and there was the last time we went through the process, and when we went through the MBA, it still exists, so we haven't had any development since then. But I think this is, like Mark said, I think this is a start in looking at that. There are these big gaps. I go to the RMA meeting, and I say, I'm fighting at CPAC to see if we can't get something done on the Scott Road. Can you help me? Well, you know, that's not our purvey. Well, CSD, can you help me? No, water, sewer, drainage. You know, who does it? You know, we leave this to citizen groups. I mean, you know, because we have no authority, that we don't have a town government because we're not a town. And we're getting to the point where you're right, where you get that mass where you're servicing 10,000 or more people with an infrastructure that was built 40 or 50 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
And let me go ahead a little further, and then that's there, you know, you're not limited to what's north, if that's the right direction, of Highway 16. There are other entities coming in south of Highway 16 that aren't a part of RMA, and they're not a part of the gates, but there will be homes down there, and there will be expansion of homes as things come and go. So, I mean, you're really talking about Rancho Marietta as a community entity with some homeowner associations embedded in it, mm-hmm. of various kinds and types. And if you think about it, in most towns and cities, it's that government entity that decides what amenities it needs to keep the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not the homeowners association necessarily.
Right. So let's switch back to comment here.
I would like to comment on what John said.
Are you Linda Klein?
Oh, I am Linda Klein, 6062. And John mentioned 10,000 people if we did a complete development. And one of the concerns that I've always had is water. And I know the implication from Les when he said that first of all, I should start off, my email to the board was on water. And I commented in that email that I hear from this board that mitigation is possible for any quality issues. And the implication is then that engineering can take care of any quality issues. Well, engineering is not perfect. It's done by human beings. Oroville Dam is an example of that. Also, I said in that letter that I am very concerned about the quantity of the water, and if there are 10,000 people here, quantity becomes a big issue. The implication was that I didn't understand the assessment report when I read it, because it says that if there is a 3-year drought, 50% of our water supply would be cut if we had full build out. So. Am I not understanding that report? It does say that. So I would like to clarify that is in the report. And then I wanted to say to everybody, too, that I support the open spaces. I'm a member of SOLOS, and I have a bias. And the implication, again, was that people who have biases shouldn't be on different boards or that sort of thing. Everybody has a bias. There's no way you can be a human being without having a bias. So I just want to say that over and over again, that yes, you can try to be objective, but you are biased because you're human.
Linda, you got to remember that the state kind of controls us relative to what we can do with water, too. And so if the governor mandates that you've got to cut back 50%, our reservoirs could be filled to the 100% degree, and you'd still have to cut back.
Right.
And so that's kind of blended into some of those reports you're reading.
Well, another thing that I heard a civil engineer report on the Consumnes River Conservation, that there are 694 entities above us in the river that take water out, and those entities are not strictly regulated by the state. That wasn't even in the report. So, you know, they could be pulling more water out, and the report didn't even speak to that. So it's a complicated issue that just can't be addressed by one simple report, by one probably biased hired group.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm not going to speculate on bias.
Who's this familiar soul?
I would actually like to address the things that Linda just brought to the table. And those who are on the board, if they will remember a couple of years ago when this came up and the water quality assessment plan was adopted, I was strongly opposed to it because I actually have referred to it as voodoo science. And here's the reason. It was based on assumptions, not on facts. There are facts governing the actual volume of water that comes down the river and what we can use. And those facts were ignored. And so I do sympathize with comments like Linda just made in being concerned about the volume of water that's going to be needed in the future with full build-out. And I think we haven't addressed that seriously enough. And I do hope that as John's development progresses through the county, that the environmental impact group will recognize how flawed that water quality assessment plan is.
Okay, any other comment?
Mark, real quick.
And then I'm going to make a motion and move us on.
I just, this is overwhelming. I proposed this thing. And it's overwhelming in the complexity of it. And water is a debatable issue, and I agree with parts of it, and I've acquiesced to the point where yeah, there may be enough water. What I can say, as someone who is trying to build a coalition, is that if we could lower the density, okay, and it's a win because we save open space. It's a win because there are less houses. That the condition of our water supply as a result of doing that could only improve. I mean, if you're using less water, there's more water available. If you are of the camp that believes that there is enough water, you can also realize that in periods of conservation, if there is more water left over, okay, there is the ability perhaps to sneak out from under killing half the trees in Rancho Murrieta. 30%, 50%, whatever those numbers are. So for the sake of this debate, we can fight. There will be an EIR, okay, and there will be a comment period, and that will go 90 days and probably a 90-day extension, where there will be ample time to do that. I'd really like to try and fix this part first, with the understanding that if we lower the density, it will improve the water supply assessment report, no matter what you do. I mean, I'm not an engineer. I can't tell you all these other things, but I can tell you if you have less houses, you'll have more water.
Yeah. I mean, we spent tonight on, a lot of people tonight were talking about open space, and I'm still keenly interested in the country club element of this,
for sure.
And like what that means for our infrastructure and what that means for our rights. And Maury mentioned that previously. So about tonight's discussion was around specifically that. I still have that right at the front of my brain as importance. So. So let me make an action, because we need to. I think my motion here is to correct bullet 4 in endeavor 2 at the beginning of the bullet, remove bullet 5, and then adopt these as our goals for moving forward underneath this discussion.
Draft goals, yes.
I'll second that if you want.
Okay. Did you get it, Suzanne? How'd I do that time? Huh?
Pretty good.
Thanks. Okay, any further discussion? Are we roll calling this one, or are we all in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Noes?
Okay, excellent. 12, conference and education opportunities. Anything?
Nope.
Wait till they leave, we can go to anything we want.
You lost your audience.
It's all good.
Go to the bar.
Upcoming meeting times, 13 in February, yeah. Somewhere, again, there's going to be a parks meeting in February, okay? I sent, just so everybody knows, I sent a request to RMA as the park representatives, you guys know too, to try and get this going in February.
You mentioned last night.
Yep, okay, good. I also brought up, just so you guys are aware, I haven't lost sight of those parks guidelines, right? Remember when we were working on those park guidelines last year? For 2 years or how long?
Yeah.
And then, you know,
more than a year.
Prior people didn't really want to move on. I'm committed to trying getting that done before I, you know, potentially term out. Two is also the trails matrix is something that I wanted to revisit, because remember, the map is one thing, but I want to make sure that the logistics are still squared away on that, so I mentioned that. I also mentioned, too, with regard to the fact of the parks matrix itself and what's on the matrix. You know, one of the things RMA is talking about wanting to change the former pump track site to something else. And I wanted to remind them that the process for that is through the Parks Committee.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure that we follow the process. And so those are things that I expressed in my email to them as part of February. Okay? So you guys know where I'm headed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What's the dog park they wanted to put out there?
Dog park, warm-up field, whatever it is. It's got to go on the matrix and we got to talk about it. You know what I mean? It's all good.
Last night at RMA it was brought up as a...
What are we making?
Well, just a resident.
They were talking about a dog park.
Yeah.
Suggested a dog
park. Yeah, and I think that's been floated a couple times at RMA. I just want to get it in the right form, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the right process.
Too. Yeah, that's what I'm after. You got it, buddy. Process. All right. Okay, we're at 14 then. Director comments and suggestions. Paul?
No comments.
Nothing here?
No.
Nothing.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I'm going to read two sentences.
All right.
The mission of Rancho Murrieta Community Services District is to take a leadership role in the responding to the needs of the residents. The district will deliver superior community services efficiently and professionally at a reasonable cost while responding to and sustaining the enhanced quality of life the community desires. And here's the deal I'm going to make. This used to be on our wall, because
that's
this is
our mission statement.
That's our mission statement.
Okay, you didn't.
And if you guys agree to put it back up on the wall, I won't read it at every meeting.
Put it in front, right here, on the baseboard.
Yeah, that's the mission statement. And it used to be on the wall. I don't know what happened to it.
I've never seen it on the wall, so.
Well, we did it. We were kind of proud of it when we wrote it like 15 years ago.
I don't particularly like these drafts.
You want to mention
that? We do have it. It is in our rotating slideshow on our website also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I cannot.
We can
that.
Add it.
Put it on the wall.
All right. Well, let's put it on the wall. All right. Maury, what do you got?
Mr. Technology, and you saying put it on a piece of paper? I'm fine. Nothing. Nothing.
Jerry.
Suzanne, you sent a thing on the Finance Committee, and I said I don't get them the way you operated through it. Outlook. What was the message?
It was just like committee meetings. When I canceled last month's finance, it deleted all of them. So I was just putting it back out there.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't see it on the website either, so I was at a loss as to what it was.
Just for planning purposes, do you think we're going to have one in February? Do we need one that you know about?
Oh, I think we might need one.
Okay. I just need to block that time.
Pretty soon you got to start talking budget issues.
Yeah, just trying to get caught up with everything, and so we can start moving forward with that. It's just been a whirlwind.
A reminder,
I think this is the year you have to start your renewal of our water rights for 2020. Mm-hmm. Pretty important to get that going.
Yep. You got to show good stewardship as well.
Well, it's a good way to end the debate over how much water we have. If we don't have any water, there's no debate.
Nothing else.
I have nothing.
Okay.
Further.
I owe you an answer on the goals workshop, and I'm thinking like in February, hopefully like the 15th, if that works. The reason I'm bringing it up now is because I'm trying to quickly coordinate schedules. February 15th, which is a Monday, which basically rolls it 30 days out.
February 15th is a Thursday.
Thursday, sorry, that's exactly what I meant. No, whatever that Monday is, the President's Day. What's that one?
It must be the 12th.
We were supposed to have it on the 15th.
President's Day is the 19th, so we're closed.
19th, I think it's the 9th. Okay, we're closed. Then somewhere in that two-week period, let's find our spot. Because I don't want to go too far in, right?
You want to run Mondays?
I don't, you know.
I mean, that's your preferred time?
Mondays are good. Fridays are really good. You know, okay. Usually I have less meetings on Fridays, so Fridays are preferred.
So then if you were talking about the Monday, you'd be talking about the 12th?
So if we did like the 16th or the 9th, I'd be into it.
That's board packet day.
Okay, then no. 16th. Board packet day. 9th.
At what time?
I don't know. It's like an all-day thing, right, typically?
Because that Friday?
We'll start at 1:30.
I'd like a 1:30 start on the 9th. Can I get a what?
The 9th?
Yes.
Is a what? Friday?
1:30 on the 9th.
It's a Friday.
Yes, Friday the 9th, 1:30. Yeah. Does that give you enough time?
And we're talking February.
Sure.
Right.
You sure?
Yeah, well, the 9th is gone on January.
Otherwise, we do it.
Yeah, well, the question was,
it's going to bunch up. Okay. Let's get it done. All right. Let's get it done, boss.
Yep.
All right. That's all I had.
I have nothing.
Did we just make that the 9th?
The 9th at 1:30.
I'll send the thing out.
Yes, beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where we're in.
So I'm going to ask for adjournment on agenda item 15. I need a motion.
I so moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 See that one?
6:25.
Suzanne.
What?
That was 1 minute off, I guess.